Cats present Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Cigarette do you smoke, Doctor? That question was asked of doctors in every branch of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country. What cigarette do you smoke, Doctor? The brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to this recent nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Make your own Camel 30-day test, the sensible cigarette test, and see how mild, how flavorful, how thoroughly enjoyable Camels are. Here transcribed is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Mr. Diamond, come in, sir.
Well, thank you, Francis. How's the Pepsi Einstein tonight?
Oh, my goodness, sir. That was a dandy.
Oh, you like that, huh?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, chuckle along and tell Miss Asher sweet and frostbitten is downstairs.
Right away, sir.
I'll be in the study.
Yes, sir.
The snow is snowing. The wind is blowing. But I can weather the storm. Why do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
Hi.
Hi. What's new?
Nothing with me. I want to know about you.
Nothing much with me either, honey.
What have you been doing for the last couple of days?
Case.
Oh.
Got a nice big fat retainer.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. Look at the eyes light up.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want your money.
But now that I'm independently wealthy, you figure you don't have to feed me anymore.
Rick.
Don't have to take me to any more shows. Take me to an occasional chocolate malt.
Oh, don't be silly. You know I don't mean...
Just because I made $200.
$200?
Stop kissing my hand.
Rick. You kidding?
I have tickets for the ballet tomorrow night. Dinner at 21 after the show.
Oh, Rick.
Afterwards, we nick.
I love you.
Of course. Now, I suppose you want to hear all about the case.
Well, not unless you want to.
Well, as long as it's optional.
But you're too tired some other time.
It all started 3 days ago.
You don't really have to. I can hear about it any time.
I was sitting in my office.
You don't have to put yourself
up. Oh, shut up, woman. As I was saying, the whole thing started 3 days ago. I was sitting in my office reading Gaylord Houser and soaking my feet in a tub of blackstrap molasses... when the door opened and then walked 6 feet of mink cape wrapped around 5.5 feet of what little girls are made of. I remember thinking about the sugar and spice and everything nice, and even with the mink cape covering most of it, I decided that this little girl could have given a bee farm a nervous breakdown.
Mr. Diamond?
You have been reading the sign on the door.
I'd like to hire you.
Well, I'd like you to. I'll charge $100 a day in expenses.
I want protection.
From what?
My husband.
What's the matter? Can't he stand the pace?
He's getting out of prison at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and he's threatening to make trouble.
I think you better come to the whole thing, Miss...
Connors. Marilyn Connors.
Okay. Who's your husband?
His name's Joe Connors.
Oh.
You know him?
Helped send him up 10 years ago. Armed robbery, wasn't it?
Yes. He hasn't served all of his time, but he's being paroled.
Go ahead.
Well, since Joe was sent up, I had to find work. A man Joe used to work for gave me a job in his club.
Martin Cole?
Yes. Do you know him?
Slightly. We're hating acquaintances.
Mr. Cope has been very wonderful to me.
I'm sure he has.
I don't think I like that.
Your husband doesn't either, huh?
You're very blunt, aren't you?
Like the front of a streetcar. I don't like your boss, and I don't like your husband. I think it's better that you know now before you make any investments and then have to fire me.
You're the best private detective in New York.
Only because I'm brilliant, shrewd, and loaded with talent.
And a little ridiculous.
Oh, sure. Add that on and just think what you're getting for a lousy $100 a day in expenses.
Even though you don't like Joe and Mr. Cope, you'll still take the job?
Look, Mrs. Connors, I've been honest with you about your husband and Cope. I never let personalities interfere in my business. A job's a job. Besides, I'm starving to death. She gave me a slow smile, complete with a high fever, handed me a retainer, and swayed out of the office like Mata Hari leading an atomic research stag party. We agreed to meet again at 4 o'clock, so I spent the next hour on the roof, relaxing in 3 feet of snow. And around 4 o'clock, walked my frozen blood pressure down to Martin Cope's nightclub. The only king-size safe decorated by Berghoff Goodman, complete with an intellectual piano player, a $15 minimum, and enough intrigue to make a centered investigation look like a taffy pull. The girl who had been to my office earlier was standing on the edge of the empty dance floor rehearsing a song while the piano player was trying his best to overdo the accompaniment. I grabbed a chair and sat down to listen.
Something wrong?
Look, if you'd like to do a single, why don't you say so?
I'm happy.
When you're playing for me, I would appreciate it if you just backed me up quietly, simply. Stop hating our acquaintance.
Darling, I'd be happy to do anything you say except for one question.
Yes.
You can't sing.
Why, you anemic excuse for a musician. You couldn't get a song right if you ran it through a player piano.
Temper, darling.
You listen to me, Bernie. I put up with you for a long time.
You put up with me?
Yes, with you.
Oh.
I've let you mess me up night after night.
You did that all by your little lonesome, honey.
You just better remember who's paying your bills, honey. I get out here and break my neck to try and get a good show. Don't you get cute with me. You better wise up, Buster, or you're going to end up playing for your meals down on Skid Row. Okay, Bernie,
they kept going round and round. And about the time the piano player looked like he might possibly throw caution to the wind and stamp his foot, a door opened at the other side of the room, and Martin Cope, big-time gambler and owner of the club, walked over to the piano.
Look, if you two insist on raising the roof, take it to the back room where nobody can hear you.
I'm sorry, Martin, but Bernie just won't listen.
Mr. Cope, I can assure you that it wasn't...
You stay out of this.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You two can kick the walls in when I'm not in my office, but, honey, when I've got work to do...
It won't happen again. What's the matter?
Who's that?
Who?
Sitting over there.
Well, I'm surprised, Cope. I thought you'd spot my blue eyes.
Oh, it's Mr. Diamond.
Diamond?
Jesse, he says you know each other.
Diamond, a private detective?
Sure. You remember, Cope, all those times down at the precinct playing 20 questions.
What are you doing here?
I got tired of talking to nice people.
Beat it.
I asked Mr. Diamond here, Martin.
You did.
Well, I know you're not worried about Joe, but I am.
You had this two-bit gum show.
Temper.
Mr. Diamond's supposed to be the best private detective in the business.
Says who?
Well, I did mention it a few hundred times.
Did Sloan put you up to this, honey?
Martin, with Joe getting out this afternoon...
I told you not to worry about Joe. Did Sloan tell you to hire yourself a bodyguard?
I thought it would be a good idea.
He did, huh? Everybody's got a good idea. Nobody thinks I know what I'm doing. I just happen to run the place.
Sloan was thinking about you, Martin.
Yeah? Well, I'll give him something to really think about.
Now, Martin...
No, I'm tired of the whole mess. Everybody's scared stiff of a two-bit punk who's getting out of stir. Hiring an ex-cop who couldn't protect an old lady from a boy scout.
Have you been tested for rabies lately?
Look, Diamond...
Martin, I'm afraid of what Joe might do.
Oh, but hiring a private cop, and to top it off, you got to pick this one.
Look, Mrs. Connors, I don't want to cause a lot of trouble.
Well, you're trying real hard.
Maybe you'd better just take your retainer and we'll forget the whole thing.
That is the only bright thing you've ever come up with, Mr. Diamond.
How about it, Mrs. Connors?
Well, you keep the retainer, Mr. Diamond, but... Maybe under the circumstances, it would be better...
Sure, keep the money, Diamond. Go buy yourself a new joke book.
I don't want it. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll donate it to your restaurant's hospital fund, Cope.
We haven't got one.
That's the trouble with you, Cope. No vision. You should always have a little insurance in case of a bad accident. I left the club with Martin Cope, stretched out on the dance floor, and Marilyn Connors looking too startled to say much. Bernie, the piano player, accompanied my exit with a fast course of the funeral march, and I headed for my quiet little apartment. I napped for the rest of the afternoon, And by 8 o'clock, I was appropriately dressed in my best blue suit, the other one being a casual Sienna and suitable only for badminton and runyon hunting. I had paused to admire myself, surreptitiously humming a few bars of Temptation when, Yeah?
Richard Diamond?
Depends on who wants him.
My name's Sloan, William Sloan.
Oh, I'm Diamond. What can I do for you?
I'm here because Miss Marilyn Connors asked me to come by and talk to you.
Well, come in.
Thank you.
I believe Martin Cope mentioned your name earlier this afternoon.
In all probability, he did. I'm Mr. Cope's attorney.
I'll see.
Thank you.
Cope seemed a little unhappy with you, Sloan.
That was because I suggested that Marilyn hire herself a private detective.
I gathered as much.
I picked you because of your reputation. I had no way of knowing that Martin didn't like you.
So why are you here, Mr. Sloan?
To ask you to go back on the job. Protect Marilyn until we're sure that her husband is not going to cause trouble.
I'd like to know something, Mr. Sloan. Why do you expect Marilyn's husband to cause trouble?
Isn't it obvious?
Maybe I'm a little dense.
Why, Marilyn and Martin Cope have been in love since Joe Connors was sent to prison.
You think that's enough to make Joe Connors try something?
Well, it goes a little deeper than that.
How deep?
Joe Connors used to work for Martin.
Oh, yeah. Now, wait a minute. I'm beginning to remember. Joe Connors swore Cope had him framed.
That's correct. He swore that when he got out, he'd get him.
Well, it's a little tough under the circumstances. It'll just cause another argument between Cope and Marilyn if I show up again. Why don't you get yourself another boy? A lot of good private detectives in New York.
Because you'd be about the only one who wouldn't be afraid of Martin. And Marilyn has a great respect for you.
Even after I belted her boyfriend?
Well, I think that convinced her you were the one for the job.
Hmm. Joe Connors got out this afternoon, didn't he?
That's right, at 4:30.
Where's Mrs. Connors?
At the club.
Well, if I go down there, there's going to be more trouble.
Martin went out about an hour ago. That's why we want you to come down. Martin got a phone call. He seemed worried. Marilyn was in the office with him. She said that when he left, he didn't say where he was going, but he took his gun with him.
Sloan and I went downstairs, climbed into his car, and headed for Martin Cope's nightclub. When we went in, Marilyn Connors was on stage. So we went to the back of the building and sat down in her dressing room. About 10 minutes later, Marilyn came in. She was wearing something thin enough to make a silkworm commit a Harry Carey.
Hello, William. Mr. Diamond, I'm so glad you reconsidered.
I think we both reconsidered, didn't we?
Has Martin come back yet?
I'll go see. I'll be right back.
I'm worried, Mr. Diamond.
How long ago did Cope leave?
About half an hour before I went on. You'll excuse me, I have to take off my makeup.
Oh, sure, go right ahead.
He's back.
Martin?
Yes, and I'm sure something's happened. He's worried sick about something.
I'll go see him.
Mrs. Connors?
Yes?
Do you want me to stay?
No, I don't think that would be a good idea. Why don't you go over to my apartment and wait? It's 48 West 74th Street, number 3. It's a walk-up.
All right.
Wait, you'll need a key. Here.
She handed me her key and left with William Sloan. I walked out of the club, grabbed a cab, and 20 minutes later, I was walking upstairs to her apartment. The room was in darkness. I felt around for a light switch near the door. Then I froze. The room was still and quiet, but there was a smell in the air. A heavy, pungent odor that a gun leaves after it's been fired. The smell was cordite. I flipped the switch on and looked down at the dead body of Joe Connors, lying on his back, shot through the head.
Before we continue with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, here's an important question. How mild can a cigarette be? One sniff won't tell you.
One puff won't tell you.
It takes day in, day out smoking to judge the mildness of a cigarette, to see how well it gets along with your throat.
Make the sensible cigarette test. The thorough cigarette test. Smoke only Camels for 30 days... and you know how mild Camels are. Pack after pack, week after week. Yes, for 30 days, enjoy the rich, full flavor of Camel's costly tobaccos and see just how mild a cigarette can be.
In a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
Make your own Camel 30-day test, the sensible test, and see for yourself why more people smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
How mild, how mild, how mild can a cigarette be? Make the Camel 30-day test, and you'll see. Smoke Camels and see.
And now back to Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell.
Who is it?
The police.
Oh, goody.
Otis.
Yeah?
You're standing on my foot.
Oh, sorry, Lieutenant.
Well, good evening, Lieutenant Levinson.
Who's dead, Diamond?
Right over there. Name's Joe Connors.
Shot in the head, Lieutenant.
Well, Otis is getting brighter.
Who did it?
How do I know?
Whose apartment is this?
Mrs. Marilyn Connors.
Same name as the dead man.
No, his name's Joe.
Oh, I mean the last name.
Look, meathead.
Well, it is.
He's right, Walt. They were married.
What are you doing here?
Me? Well, I come with you.
Otis.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, what are you doing here, Diamond?
Well, Marilyn Connors asked me to wait for her.
Then let's all wait.
Walt, have you noticed all the windows are locked?
So it's cold out.
Let's not wait. Let's go over to Martin Cope's nightclub.
What's Martin Cope got to do with it?
Leave Otis here until the coroner arrives. Put a tag on him so the coroner will be sure to get the right body, and I'll tell you about the whole thing on the way over to the club. Lieutenant Levinson to see you, Martin.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant.
Hi.
What are you doing here, Diamond?
He's with me, Cope. You own a gun?
What is this?
He said, do you own a gun?
Yeah, so what?
Look at it.
Okay. It's loaded.
Let's see. Been fired.
You're nuts.
Rick.
Has been.
What is this? I haven't fired that gun since I owned it.
You took it out of here with you, didn't you?
What's that to you, Diamond?
You took it out tonight, didn't you?
Don't answer that, Martin.
Now look.
Let's go down to the station.
What for?
Martin, you knew Joe Connors, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, somebody shot him.
You think I...
Martin, don't say any more. I'm surprised it's you, Sloan. You're the one who told me Martin took the gun with him.
You did?
How the devil did I know Diamond would go to the police?
What were you doing with Diamond anyway?
Marilyn hired him.
And fired him?
She hired him again tonight. He was working for her. Anything I told him was in confidence.
Murder just isn't confidential, Sloan.
Look, wait a minute here. Yeah, you're right. I went out to see Joe Connors. He phoned me.
Martin.
I didn't kill him, though. Yeah, I took my gun, but I didn't use it. He was dead when I got there.
You went to Marilyn Connors' apartment?
That's right.
Well, let's all go down to the station and have ballistics check on this gun.
And in the meantime, Cope, I'm holding you on suspicion of murder. Well, here's the ballistics report, Rick. Cope's gun was the one that did the job. Slug they took out of Connors' match.
Now let's talk to Marilyn Connors and Sloan again.
Why, we've got our boy.
Just want to talk to them.
Then in Miss Connors and Mr. Sloan. Now, what have you got on your mind, Rick?
Oh, I was just thinking about all the windows being locked.
So what?
You want to see us, Lieutenant?
Mr. Diamond does. Have a chair.
Mr. Diamond, I'm sorry things worked out this way.
Oh, so am I. Oh, here's your apartment key.
Thank you.
How many people have the key to your apartment, Mrs. Cannon?
What? Martin has the only other one.
Mm-hmm. What time did Martin get that phone call?
Oh, about 7:30, I guess. I got to the club about 7:15. Martin usually comes in about 7:30. I met him in his office, and he got the call.
And he took the gun and left right away?
It's all right. Martin has already admitted taking the gun.
Yes, he took the gun and left almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. Where were you, Sloan?
At home? I got to the club just after Martin left. Marilyn told me what had happened, and I came right over to you.
Oh. Well, all right. Thank you very much.
That's all?
Are you going to defend Mr. Cope?
I doubt it. I don't think he wants me to.
Well, thank you very much. We'll be talking to you.
Goodbye, Lieutenant. Mr. Diamond?
So long. You left the club about a quarter of eight.
That's right, about a quarter to eight.
Connors had been dead about 3 hours when I found him, Walt. I found him about 9:30.
My gosh, that's right.
And that part of your story stands up, Cope. He was dead when you got there.
What about the gun?
You always keep that gun in your desk, Cope?
Yeah.
Who was in the club with you?
All the usual people. Waiter, bartenders, busboys.
Marilyn?
Yeah. Now, wait a minute.
Who knew you kept the gun in the desk?
Oh, half a dozen people, maybe.
You think somebody lifted that gun, killed Connors, and put it back in the desk?
You always come in about 7:30, don't you, Cole?
Yeah, every night.
According to the death certificate, Connors had been dead about an hour before he came in. What time did you leave the club this afternoon?
Right after you slugged me.
Oh, got up rather suddenly. It was about 4:30, wasn't it? Somebody could have gone into your office, taken that gun, killed Connors, put the gun back before you came in at 7:30.
Then I'm cleared?
No, not a bit. You have a key to Marilyn's apartment. The killer had a key to let Connors in.
Miss Connors said there were only two keys.
Now, Walt, let's go talk to Mrs. Connors. Mrs. Connors, where were you around 7 this evening?
7?
Where were you?
Why, downtown.
You weren't in your apartment?
No.
Did you come back from downtown before going to the club?
No.
Well, who was in your apartment?
No one that I know of.
Have you ever given your key to anyone except Cope and, me, of course?
Yes.
Who and how long ago?
A piano player. About a week ago.
The nice man who slugged Mr. Cope this afternoon. Let me buy you a drink.
Oh, no thanks, Bernie. This is Lieutenant Evanson.
Lieutenant?
Hi.
What time did you get to the club this evening, Bernie?
Oh, about 7:30. Why?
The cook says he saw you come in around 7:15.
15 minutes one way or the other.
Where were you at 7 o'clock, Bernie?
My house, I guess.
Bernie, we checked with the state prison. They sent your letters up there.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. A man named Joe Connors got a letter 2 days ago telling him to meet someone at Mrs. Connors' apartment around 6:30 this evening.
What's this all about?
Well, we'd like to have you come down to the station for a paraffin test, Bernie.
A paraffin test?
Yeah, we can determine if anyone has shot a gun in the last 48 hours.
Oh.
When did you take Mr. Cope's gun, Bernie?
Right after he left this afternoon.
You had a duplicate key made from the one Mrs. Connors gave you several days ago?
Mm-hmm. The Green Hardware Shop, I believe, over on 64th Street.
Why'd you do it?
Oh, love, hate, lots of reasons. What difference does it make? For a week now, I've heard him talking about Joe Connors and what he might do when he got out. I saw a chance to get rid of Martin Cope, so I had the key made, wrote Joe Connors a letter, and killed him with Mr. Cope's gun.
After you killed Connors, you came back, put the gun back in the drawer. When Martin Cope came in, you called him and said you were Connors.
From that phone booth right over there.
Were you in love with Marilyn Connors?
That is an extremely earthy question that can do no good at all. Now, let's go, Lieutenant. I was getting tired of playing the piano.
Too bad it didn't work. Think what Marilyn Connors in for when she marries Martin Cope.
Well, speaking of Marilyn Connors, you certainly did take a lot of pains describing her attributes.
Oh, really? Well, it wasn't painful at all.
Was she really that pretty?
Pretty, pretty.
Well, I'm jealous.
Well, don't be. She had one thing that was wrong.
What was that?
She had long blonde hair that hung all the way down to the floor.
Well, that sounds beautiful.
But it was her mustache. Better sing something, huh?
I think you'd better.
What would you like?
Anything that will make up for that last remark.
I thought it was pretty clever.
Just sing.
Okay. How about this?
Oh, that's better.
Thank you.
Rick. I'll bet she really did have pretty hair.
Oh, I guess so, but she kept it all rolled up on her head.
What's the matter with that?
I like yours better.
I wear mine up.
Yeah, but I've seen you with your hair down.
Rick.
Come here.
Rick?
Dick Powell will return in just a minute. More people smoke Camel. Here's Dick Powell with a special message.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, no one deserves the appreciation of the American people more than the men and women who have served in our armed forces. The Camel people send weekly gifts of cigarettes to those servicemen and veterans who are hospitalized. This week's Camels go to Veterans Hospital, Martinsburg, West Virginia, and Coral Gables, Florida. U.S. Army Station Hospital, Camp Hood, Texas. U.S. Naval Hospital, Chelsea, Massachusetts. Now, until next week, enjoy a Camel. I always do.